myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm lost. Myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm lost. Give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Amen.
So you can be seated, brother.
Amen.
Sir.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited this morning. Again. Again.
Amen.
Lord, I just, you know, Wednesday talked about, you know, spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was reading a scripture, and it touched me.
Amen.
And it's a very familiar scripture, and I would like to just read this morning.
Yes.
We started a little bit early, so I have a little bit of time.
That's right.
So, bear with me. I'm not the most proficient reader. So we come over here to Romans 8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know Romans 8 and 28.
Yeah.
We already know that all things work together.
Yes.
They sure do.
You know what? Sometimes it's nice to see.
Yes.
Nice to see it. So I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of scriptures. And we know.
No.
Without a doubt. 100%.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
torn.
No
confused. Not confused. No leaven.
No leaven. Space. None.
None. Sure. No interpretation.
Amen.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
But there's a comma. There's a requirement.
Yeah. That's right.
There's
right.
a requirement. Yeah. To them who are called.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
According to his purpose.
Yeah.
To his purpose.
Oh, yeah. That's exclusive.
For whom he did foreknow.
Hold on now.
For no.
You're getting in the message.
That comma just eliminated a lot of different people.
That's exclusive.
Because a lot of people on Sundays love God.
Oh,
A lot of people on Sundays do good works.
Yeah, yeah.
But not everybody's called
no.
to his purpose. There is a select individual, a group of people
yes.
that, you know what they do? They say amen to
come on.
Every word.
They pass that word test.
Oh, my but goodness.
We keep going. Brother Moore, I tell you this I see it now. When you see it, you see it.
He
like Brother Jay
now.
Said, you know, when I know. You can't be, uh-uh. He said, moreover. So more. There's more.
There's yeah. more.
There's more.
Oh, yeah.
Whom did he predestinate? All right, so that's another thing that we had to
yeah.
make. Another check mark.
Oh,
checked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
predestinate
nail
then.
It down.
He also called.
Yeah.
He also called.
He calls.
He calls.
It's
he
him.
Calls.
Yeah.
He also justified.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He also glorified.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And we, I mean, this you can keep, it's exciting, but.
Finish the work.
Yeah. But you know what? There's, you know. I'm going to go down forward a little bit, down to 38 where it says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death, I'm not torn whether my loved ones pass, nor life. I'm not torn on whether my loved ones are still here. Okay. Whether my loved ones are still here and not here. I'm not torn, nor angels. Not even supernatural beings
amen.
Can wow. stand between me and
that's
God.
Right. That's right.
Not even angels can't even see
they can't.
What I see.
Right.
They can't even trod or where I walk.
Oh my goodness.
Nor yeah. principalities, nor powers, nor presence, nor not things to come. I'm not worried about the future. I'm worried
my
about
goodness.
Today. Amen. I didn't come here, you know, yes, I have. This body, we can speak out of both sides of our mouth. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
sure.
excited for the rapture.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a job to do.
That's
today.
Right.
I have a. That's I have to something
life,
to do today.
Right,
yeah. I have a work to do.
Yeah.
Nor heights. So God brings me down.
Right.
Nor depths. God brings me up.
Yep.
Right.
Nor any
amen.
Creature. Nothing stands between
not
me.
Not one thing.
Shall separate me from the love of God.
My goodness.
But, you know, there's that's another right. one
that's
I
a
want
promise.
To go to.
Except
okay. All right. All right.
That's the whole sermon.
31. What shall we say to?
Amen.
What shall we then say to these things?
Amen.
If God be for us, then who?
Can be against.
Who can be
come
against?
Come on.
Amen.
What?
Wow.
Any? That's. There's nothing that can be against.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you guys come in here. There should be the happiest group of people.
Come on!
These pews shouldn't be able to
right.
hold you back.
Oh,
these
my
problems
goodness.
That we have shouldn't be able to hold you down.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Moore said that, you know, we shouldn't get up until the song leaders leave. So you guys got 9 minutes early. Yeah. So I made sure I was the first one. You know,
right.
you know it's joyful because, you know, you read these things, and this is a testimony for my
yes.
brother.
Yes.
This is him writing stuff down, and, you know, I'm like, you know what? Amen, because... Again, I see the word.
I see the word.
I see the word.
That's it.
But I wanted to go over to Ephesians 2.
Amen.
And this is another thing. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved.
Hmm.
Through faith.
Look at that.
Through faith.
Your faith.
Your
wow.
faith. Through faith. I
yeah.
walk on this.
Right.
When he says something, I don't sit there and be like, well, Lord,
come on.
I need to see evidence.
No.
I need to,
no.
Nuh-uh. He says,
that's the
I am because he says I am.
That's right.
If God be
oh,
for you, who be against you? Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
He says, I'll read this. For by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves.
Amen.
Right.
It means you can't get it yourself.
Nope.
That's right. You can't.
Can't
do it by yourself.
Can't do it by yourself.
You've got to find yourself a man
bringing
it who's
word.
Bringing it word upon word.
Yes.
He says, how would I not know unless it's been preached?
Yeah.
How would I not
how
know?
How can it be preached?
It's got to be preached, but you got to find where the word's at.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't just go anywhere.
Can't.
It's got to be yeah. it's got to be quickened.
That's right.
That's right.
For so not of works, lest all man should boast. Let any man should boast.
Right, right.
But for we are his workmanship.
That's right.
Created in Christ.
Right. Yes.
Jesus right. to good do good works. You can't help it.
Can't.
You can't help it. You'll be changed.
My goodness.
You'll be changed once you get this.
Yes, sir.
Once you truly understand this. Once you've been born again.
Amen.
Yeah.
Once you turn.
Your sign sealed.
Once you understand it. Once, like Brother Jay said on Wednesday,
yeah.
Once you know, you know. You can't be persuaded anything different.
That's right.
You'll come up here and you'll run through a filter. You'll be like, I'll pick out. Sometimes you have to pick out bones, but not here. Yeah.
Not here.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, I know. I can't even expect. You're like, Sunday. It's Sunday. I'm not coming here just to warm a seat.
No.
I'm not coming here just to occupy a space.
Right.
I don't want to get comfortable.
Come on.
I don't want to get displaced.
Amen.
God's been too good to us.
Right.
You woke up this morning, walked in here on.
Come on.
He gave you life. He gave you breath. Right. And why shouldn't you praise him? Why shouldn't you raise your hands? Why shouldn't you clap your hands?
Come on.
He's been too good for you. I can tell you only personally what he's done for me. But I tell you what, they were talking on Wednesday. You know, that's all nice. You know, being healed. Not having celiac disease.
Part of it.
That's nice. But the fact that you have an understanding.
Amen.
That you know where you're at. There's no greater gift.
Yes.
No greater gift than know that you're eternally secure. That you're eternally secure, that you can see this.
Yes.
And you know without a fact that anything that comes across this pulpit.
Come on.
Like, amen.
Amen.
It's nothing but the truth.
Automatic.
It's nothing but the truth.
Yes.
And you know when you do that, you don't even know, but you'll step out on it.
Right.
You'll step out. You won't know what God's going to do, but you'll step out on it because we walk by faith. We walk by faith, and eventually that faith revelates, and then it manifests. So if we walk on faith with our healing, why are we going to walk on faith with our rapture?
Same. Right.
We're going to sit there and like, well, you know what? I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I want to see. I want to see. I want money. I want this.
Right.
Body change.
Right.
It's just as real.
Right.
It's just as real.
Just as real.
So, you know, I am so thankful that I can come in here and you know what? That you can read and understand. That's such a blessing that you can just come in here and just, you know what?
Yes.
And it speaks to you differently.
It does.
We've read Romans 8 28 for years. Yes. When we start to realize who's called accordingly.
Yes.
When you're, you know, that
put your name.
Scripture, there was a, I don't even know if I could, there, yeah, we're up and grab to it. It says, Ephesians 5, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ.
Amen.
And he raised us up together. And made us sit together in a heavenly place. This is a heavenly place.
This is it.
This is it. This is an upper room.
Yes.
Experience. You're going to come in here and you're going to take out what you want. You're going to come in here and you're going to either join in the experience.
Yeah.
Or you're going to just be a partaker.
Get in the water.
Well, I don't
want
to be a partaker.
No.
I want to be in it.
Yeah.
I want to swim.
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't like swimming. They'll sit on the side. And they'll watch, like, it looks fun. It looks fun. You've got to dip your toes. You went down the water. You didn't go down partially.
What'd you come here for?
You went down fully submerged.
My goodness.
You put yourself out there.
Yes.
But you know what? That's
get all the benefits.
Revelation says, prophesy again.
Come on.
And say, amen. You know, once you repent and be baptized, have a seat on the seats. He said, prophesy again.
Come on.
There's something to do.
Say something.
I don't even know what you have unless you say it.
Oh, right. My God.
If you say you have a wife and I never see her, I have every right to doubt it.
Right.
If you say you have a revelation and I never hear it, it's not even complicated. It's just something is. I remember what David one time got up and he was like, you know what? I'm glad I'm one of them. And that's it. That's an understanding to understand I've identified with the body. Amen. I put my hand on this thing.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I'm just thankful that you know what? I see it. Amen. It's a personal revelation. I see it for myself. So, you know what they say? For me in my house.
Yes.
I see it. So, thank you for revelation. Thank you for an understanding. You know, thank you for the small things. Thank you for peace of mind.
Yes.
Thank you
for
good
health.
Yes. Thank you for good kids. Thank you. And when they're not good, thank God when they're not good.
Right.
When they're here, amen. When they're not here, amen. But you know what? A rest. If nothing else, you guys walked in this doors on a Sunday.
Come on.
In a neurotic age, you should be the happiest group of people.
Yes.
The song leader should have the hardest job. You should make them sweating bullets.
Not today.
I look at Isaiah. I'm like, all right, you already know. Yeah. I'm going to make them nervous. That's my job.
Right.
As a lady, I'm supposed to get up here and make them nervous.
I ain't nervous yet.
They have a job to do. So you know what? I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna turn it over to somebody else because we're gonna have church. I came here to worship God.
Amen. Yes. God bless you, Brother Seth. Go ahead, sis.
Well, when I come in this house, you know, I'm gonna try to hold it down. I have something to say because in this hour, God has given us everything that we need. I'm gonna do like Elise said. I'm gonna put my spice on. Let me, you know, I'm allowed to say what the Word of God says I am.
Yes.
I am the Word of God. Therefore, when you squeeze me, that's all you're going to get because that's all that's in there. He said, I am the salt of the earth.
Yes.
Amen. He said, I am the light of this world.
Yes.
I am the final voice to this final age. This is the last time the Gentiles is going to hear from God, and he's using us. We will play a song. But, you know, I looked at a story. I thought about this morning.
Amen.
There was a mighty warrior covered with scars, and he was up getting his award and everything. And a little young man looked at him, and he said, mighty warrior covered with scars. He said, how many times do you have to get up after you've been knocked down? He said, just once. I'm here because every time I was rebuked, I took that rebuke. I listened to it, and I kept on walking.
That's right.
I'm here because every step he gave to me, I took. And I want to say that I'm healed.
You have
to say
what
God says you are.
Yes.
If you don't claim your testimony, you're never going to get it. I'm going to say it again. He said, ask.
Yes.
And you shall receive. He said, seek. And he said, you'll find it. Not maybe you will. He said, I would. I claim it. Let me say this. I was in the gym the other day.
Come on.
I was on the elliptical. I looked around and everything looked as clear as crystal. My day is coming.
Come on.
He promised me. Okay, I'm going to shut up. I could go all day long.
Come on.
About what God has done.
Yes.
This is the easiest place. We're going to praise God. When we go out there, we're the walking, talking Word of God. This place needs us. Everyone we meet, well, God will send mine to me. That's what he said.
That's right.
So I am not going to take up all the time. I am going to go play a song. I just want to let you know that through it all, we conquer. We're victorious.
Yeah.
We make it in the end. He saw what we would do with the Word. And we're not a ragtag team. You're the cream of the crop. That's why we're here.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to play right quick and then I'm going to sit down.
Amen.
Yeah, we are.
I just want to say, you know, I really appreciate each and every one of you here. The testimonies really help me, even though a lot of times I don't get up here like I should. But I thank the elders, the middle-aged elders, the young, you know, I appreciate when the young get up here, you know, because, and I appreciate what you said about healing and Sister Elise, your testimony last week. You know, I want to come back and say, every 3 to 4 months I have to get my blood drawn. And they take so many tubes of blood because they labeled me. They told me I had leukemia, but I'm going to come back here and say I don't have it. You know, no matter what they say,
come on.
I'm still believing by his stripes I'm healed.
That's right.
No matter what pain or whatever I go through, I'm believing God for it, and I thank him for it. So,
you know, I thought of something this morning, too. That, you know, when somebody says you have this or you have that, there's some steps to that. First, you have to believe what they're saying. Then the next thing you'll find yourself doing, you'll start confessing that you have that. And then people will start treating you like you have that. How about I push back a little bit?
Come on.
What if I say I don't have that? And Satan put that on you. We can speak or we can't.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to use the authority God has given me. And I'm not fighting anybody. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But, you know, I want this. I want this more than I want anything else in the world.
That's right, man.
You know, somebody said in the book of Revelation, the little book was open. And he said, take it and eat it.
Right.
But before you do that, you got to want it.
Yeah.
And oh, God, I. Give it to me. I'm going to shut up now. Yes, I'm ready. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
God bless you, sisters. Sister Sway.
So, I've been waiting all week to get up here to talk about last weekend. So I wanted to start with, you know, with this trip. Like, I was having mad anxiety about going on this trip, you know, just because of my body or whatever. I was like thinking, you know, me and Kevin were thinking it was an hour and a half, and then I found out it was 5 hours, and I was looking at Kevin. He's like, "We're gonna be all right. We're gonna be all right." So, you know, we get in the car, Brother Jay, you know, we having good conversation. He's like, "Oh, I got you 3 movies too," you know, which I didn't watch any of them because we were having good conversation. Yes. And, you know, my body hurt so bad 2 days prior to that too, where I had almost thought about canceling out. But then I was just like, you know, when I got down there, I thought, I'm not hurting as bad right now. I mean, everything was tight, but I wasn't like in pain. You know what I'm saying? I had to stretch out and stuff, but I wasn't in pain. And then, you know, when we got to the church, you know, I heard all the preachers get up and preach and testify, and everybody did a great job. But when I say our pastor got up, I mean, when I say he got up, I mean, I kept thinking like I was in a concert, like, yep, that's my pastor, yep, that's my pastor. And when people say it changes your life, it does, because that's not something I could ever really see me doing. Because it was funny too, I was talking to my daughter, because she was like, "Well, how did everything go, Mom?" Because, you know, I was like stressed out, like I said, about me making this trip. And I was like, "It was actually, you know, I actually had a good time, it was fun." And I said, "Tyann," I said, "when my pastor got up," she was like, "You was like, what?" I was thinking, she's like me. She was like, "What?" You was thinking, "That's my pastor." I was like, "Yep." I was like, that's my pastor. But I, you know, everybody did good, but I'm telling you, when our pastor got up, I mean, he rocked the house for me. You know, maybe I'm biased, but for me, my pastor rocked the house for me, you know. And I'm thankful, you know. And I've never been on one of these, so that was a different thing for me. I mean, I went to other churches, but I've never went on a weekend thing, or, you know, like a, and then I love the fellowship with my sisters. I mean, I got to, amen, you know, talk to them. And then on the way home, Brother Jay, I had to wait for him to take his nap. You know, I know he was tired. I mean, I get it, you know, he's gone through a lot, and I get it. I mean, if anybody gets it, I get it. He's tired, you know. So I'm trying to whisper to Kevin, like, "Hey, I got this question, you know." You know, and I'm asking all these questions, but I'm trying to be quiet because I don't want to wake Brother Dad. But finally he gets up and I'm like, okay, so, and I'm just saying, because I don't talk like that. There's questions I don't ask like that. Like, literally, Brother Jay, he schooled me. When I say he schooled me, I hope I didn't sound stupid either, for real. But I was always taught you got to ask a question to get an answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you feel stupid.
Right, amen.
You know, and I really got schooled coming on the way back. And I mean, I really enjoyed it from the time I left, from the time I got back. And I even spoke about it, you know, the next day. But I just want to say, you know, that I'm blessed to have all of you. I truly know what it is to have my body, and I call it my body, just like I call my pastor, you know. And I can't see it getting any better than that. But I just want to thank everybody. I had a great time, and I really want to thank my pastor. Like, you did a great job, Pastor Moore.
Yes, you did. Amen.
God bless you, Sister Jen.
Well, amen.
I'm glad to be here. It took faith to come back in the doors.
Amen.
When I find, I've been through so much in life that God, I can look and see that God has brought me through it, protected me.
Amen.
I, you know, my son is back in our house, my oldest, and
amen.
You got to walk his dog. It's part of taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's nervous a little bit, and just, 2 dogs came out on us and they stopped. You know, I've been scared of dogs somewhat, but God's put dogs in my life to teach me. You're going to be around dogs. This is how you deal with it.
Amen.
Just so much, so much good things that I, praise God for. He shows me in the Bible. I read the Bible more and more, and oh, that's me. That's me. That's me. I can identify with God, and He shows me love and correction, and I don't always do everything right, but He still says, that's you. That's still you. That's still you. Thank you.
Amen.
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 I just want to real quick, you know, I appreciate Sister Sway's testimony because I'm, you know, I'm partial, you know, to James, of course. But, you know, and I appreciate the fact that, and I've said it before, that I can just ask Him whatever I need to, you know. And but my main thing is, I was like, you know what, Lord, my prayer today is for consistency. Amen. You know, because I want to be consistent in this word. I want to be consistent in my faith. I want to be consistent in everything that I do, you know, even in my testimonies, because I see how helpful they are. You know, I hear everybody else's testimony, and I'm like, Lord, I want to be a help. Amen. I want to be consistent. And even what Sister Moore said, she was like, she's consistent, you know, in her claiming. And I want to be consistent in my speaking as well, because I want healing. I want all the things, you know, Lord. Yeah. So if I am consistent, you know, I believe that they will come unto me.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm amazed how this body's progressed.
Oh, my.
But what I want to say is, you know, I was late coming in this morning. We'll try and do better next time. But, you know, it's so funny to come into the house of God, you know, what, 10 minutes late, before service started, to go from zero to 120.
Yeah,
like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just walk in, you know what I mean? Not that I was trying to throw off spirits, but just walking in here and my mind was just open. But, you know, you anticipate God's going to be here, you know, to talk to you. But, you know, I guess you take it for granted. I'm guilty. But you come in here, and then I sit down, and then Brother Seth got up. Brother Seth, you know, you're always giving flowers to everybody. Your testimony really has an impact on how I see myself. You know, I identify with everything you say.
That's right.
You know, I see that for me. You know, everything that Brother Seth says, that applies to me. You know, I can say the same thing. And I thank God that I have the eyes and the ears to hear that. But, you know, I'm not as good as some of you other people in expressing myself. That's something that I'm trying to get out of.
Perfect, brother.
But
perfect.
When my dad was really hard on us, and he wouldn't take any back talk. So it's kind of hard for me to just, you know, express myself. But, you know, we get over that. And, you know, and I thank God that God gave me my father, because without him, I wouldn't be here. Right. If he didn't do anything but just open the door so that I would be here, that's enough. Amen. You know, I mean, I always didn't see eye to eye with him, but he's my brother. Amen. You know, that's in the end, he's my brother. Amen. I love him. I miss him. Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing him one more time.
Amen.
As well as my mom. I haven't seen her in, I don't know, since I was six, maybe. You know, and I'm looking forward to seeing her.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm just amazed at how this body is just growing. You know, we're getting stronger. And as far as I'm concerned, we're the most revelated group this on this side of heaven. Amen.
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 Let's sing song 35 out of the chorus, In the Presence of Jehovah. Kiasi.
Can I say a little something there?
Yeah.
Real quick. You know, I appreciate this body so very, very much. You know, you sit back and you just sit back and bask in it. Every testimony, everything that people do because it desires, right? You know, and we're getting to the point where we're not afraid to step out by faith. You know, when you step out by faith, you don't see it. You're taking a step and you don't see where that foot's going to fall. You know, you step by faith. It's like almost like walking in the dark in a sense. But you know that God holds it.
Yeah.
And the more you step out by faith, the more you realize God's got it.
That's right.
You know, and I go through the same thing every single time I say anything. As I'm sitting out to, Lord, I don't know where this foot's going to land. You know, you got, of course, you got all kinds of things going through your head and everything, all kinds of things you could, should, and shouldn't say, but you know, God's got this thing, and I appreciate that. And you know, I so much appreciate the body. You know, when I was thinking a little bit ago that you know, God cannot lie.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and there's people in your life, you know, that you have confidence in, more confidence in. Some people you don't have any confidence in because they don't do what they say, you know. Right. But God cannot lie.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think, Lord, why wouldn't I believe you?
Right.
You know, I believe everything he says.
That's right.
Before he says it.
Before he says it. Yes.
You know, and when y'all get up, I'm believing everything you say.
Everything.
Before you say it.
Yes.
Now, I've been like this with Brother Moore for a long time, but yeah, I'm starting to be with everybody else. I'm thinking, amen, they're going to say it right. Amen. I know they are. Amen. You know, it's going to be edifying. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to help me.
Wait.
You know, it's going to stir me. And, you know, so I just really appreciate what God's doing. So very much. Amen.
Amen. In and out of situations, that tug of war in me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into his presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere.
In the presence.
my Prince of Peace. All my troubles vanish. All hearts are mended. When I'm in the
got some announcements here. So for the men's fellowship, April 27th, it will be here in the back at the church at 10 o'clock. And then for the women's fellowship, it's June 1st. And then True Word Tabernacle is where we're going on May 5th. The bus leaves at 9 o'clock. Oh.
Cars.
You're... it's good to have an expectation, but...
If you look back there, too, on the board, the address to the church is back there, too. Of course, we'll send that out, but just you can start seeing some things back there for information.
Okay. And that's our board, so just pay attention to that as well. And 8:45, just good rule of thumb, be 15 minutes early, you know. And then church is going on a camping trip to Indiana July 20th, and there's more to come on that. Sis, you'll be the last one.
That's what I thought. So I'm thankful to be here this morning, and you know, the testimonies are spot on. But I just wanted to reflect a little bit about that weekend as well. It was a great weekend.
Yes.
And our pastor does show out when he's preaching outside. Well, he shows out here too. But it's just a different spirit. I know you put on a different hat when you're preaching at other churches, but that Brother Page left something with me, if I'm speaking the right name, the brother that came up first. Yeah. He said that, I'm not going to get it out now. One thing was finding yourself in the Bible.
Oh, yes.
And sister... I wish I could see. That's something I've been praying on. And, you know, I could see it from everyone else saying it. But I want to see myself in the Bible as well. And he kind of foot stumped that for me. So I'm going to read and I'm going to dig until I can say that's me.
Yes.
And then he also said that God is not going to take you out of here until you manifest what he has in store for you.
That's right.
And I want that too.
Amen.
As some of you said, I want my mountain. I didn't know what that meant, but I want my mountain. So I want all of the promises that he has for me, but the beauty of what I'm seeing now is there's nothing I could do because he's already seen me finish this work. So all I have to do is continue to be the light to the world.
That's right.
As he sees fit.
Amen.
And so I'm just thankful that I'm getting a better understanding. I feel better about who I am in this message. I'm part of this body.
Yeah.
And I have no intentions of going anywhere else because he is speaking to me as an individual.
Amen. Yeah.
And I just thank you for the moment because I said if he does announcements, I'm getting up. So just thank God for this message. Thank him for ear to hear.
Yes.
And as you said, Brother Seth, to be able to read the Bible. And it's not a bunch of words. It means something now.
Amen, amen.
So I'm looking for myself in this Bible. It's a lot of pages, right. So I'm going to find me.
You know, that's beautiful because, you know, you just got to trust the processes of God.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. Because if you just trust that process, you know, you'll find out that what Pastor says is just live and enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, stepping out shouldn't be something that's hard that you got to think about. Enjoy doing it. Everything that you do for God, enjoy it.
Right.
Because it's him doing it out of you. And to be able to be, that's your witness right there. That's where you're a real witness because you know what God's done for you. And then you step out even more. It just built, he's a builder. Right, he's a master builder. And you know, you don't even know what you're made of until you're faced with an opportunity to grow, to overcome. And we overcome by the words of our testimony.
Amen.
So I really appreciate the testimonies. God bless this place. Let's go ahead and sing song number 98 from the choruses. We need to hear from you. Key of G. We definitely need to hear from him. That's what we come here for. God bless this place.
We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting that we can live.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so thankful. Thankful for knowing who we are. Thanking you to what you've done for us, and how you brought us such a mighty way, and how you always provide. Lord, without you, what would we do? What would we do with our lives? I have no other life but your life. No other way but your way. And Father, we come at this junction of the service to move everything aside and let you come and walk these aisles and speak to our hearts. Lord, move every hindering spirit that battles us and everything that affects us, all the aches and pains, move them aside this morning. Bring healing to the bodies, even as the word is going forth today. Lord, we have requests and needs that we need you to move on, Father. We ask you to move on those different behalves and different needs. Lord, Brother Jimmy Moorfield needs a touch from you. Lord, Brother George in Africa asked to be remembered and touched. And Lord, we ask you to just continue to remember the Earlies as they deal with things down there in Florida and the different ones that are tuning in here this morning. Father, let your word go forth and let it do that that it's ordained to do, because we do need to hear from you. This is a big book. You have so much that you have shared with us. And these volumes could not even contain all that you've done. But Lord, we ask you to take a few moments to come by here today. Speak to us. Direct us. Answer our questions. Lord, let us do like the little Queen of Sheba did when she went to Solomon. She had heard a lot of things about him. But then when she got down there and actually got to see him and talk to him, she said, it's everything they said and even more. Father, as we gather this morning, let it be everything we've heard about you and more. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And before I get started, I want to announce a couple of things. John and I, Brother Brinkman, and I got to go down to see Jimmy on Friday, and keep him in your prayers. He needs a touch from God, and so he's they told him he doesn't have long to be here, and basically to get his things in order. So you pray for Jimmy. He loves God. He loves this message, and we want to move on his behalf and keep him in your prayers. And we'll talk more about that later, but just keep that in your prayers. Jay, I'm going to give that to you. That's going to be on the backboard for you, and if anybody wants to look at that. You don't have to do it now, just later on. And another announcement that just came up, I think, was yesterday. Brother Ben Norod is coming to visit us again. He's going to be here a week from Wednesday. He's not coming this Wednesday, because we have a guest speaker Wednesday. And Seth is going to be ministering and bringing in his message Wednesday. Amen. And then followed by our brothers. I asked him, I said, when's your next Wednesday off? He said, told me this Wednesday. So I said, okay. And so we'll get Jeremiah, one of you will back him up and get up behind him. He may only get up in 5 minutes. I said, just get up and testify like you do when you get up and testify. Because of things people, what people do, they get bogged down. And they think, oh, I got to preach. I got to bring something. No, just testify. That's all I do. I just tell you where I'm at. And so I said, just get up there and testify. Get up there and do what you did this morning. And edify the body. And then Jared and Jeremiah fix everything else up. And if what they can't do, I'll finish. But I didn't want to bring Ben this Wednesday. He actually wanted to come this Wednesday, but no, I'd already asked that. So I thought, no, we'll bring Ben next Wednesday if he's in town. So he told me he's going to be available. So we want to make sure that we start announcing Ben coming. And and we have a baptism this morning. So the water's ready. The candidate's ready. And if before the service is over, the word pricks your heart, then you get ready. And So we don't need a lot of notice. Only reason we need notice is because we have to run the water. But other than that, you know, I'd be like that one man on the road that when he met Phillips said, "Hey, here's water. What hinders me? Just get this done." See, that's the thing about a believer. When you hear the word of God, it changes your direction, and it changes your goals. This word has changed my goals in my life, and I don't have the same goals I used to. And the thing about it that I love about this word is that it changes you. It really does. You know, Melanie, you were talking about finding your name in the book. Well, everywhere you read is your name. You know, before this day and hour that we got into, we would read the scripture and we didn't know what applied to us and what didn't. Well, to now, in the hour we're living in, the whole book applies to us because the whole book is open. So whether you read Luke 17:30, whether you read Matthew 28, whether you read John 3:16, whether you read Revelations 10:8-11, it's all talking about me. And your name is the word of God that you're fulfilling for the hour. You ain't going to see Melanie Moore, Nate Moore. You're going to see the word of God. And the word is your name. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about having a new name that no man could know except he that received it. You know what that is? A revelation. So that's how simple it is. There, I fixed that. Your new name is the revelation of the word of God that you receive that applies to you. There you go. That's your new name. And you have recognized the hour we're living in. You're believing the hour that you're living in. You're living the hour that you're... You know, we're living this thing. Yeah. We are. We're living it every day. You don't have to try to put it on. It just comes out. But whatever dog you feed, that's going to be the one that's going to be the strongest. If all you do is surround yourself with worldly activities and the world's goods and the world's music and the world's friends, if that's all you surround yourself out, you know what you're going to be? The world. That's you'll look like it. You'll smell like it. I don't even have to be a smoker. If all I got to do is get around them, and I go home to Clarice, it's just like, you smoking? No. You're just in my clothes. It's in my hair. It's whatever you hang with is what you identify with. You could be a son or a daughter of God and smell just like the world. Dress just like the world. Look just like the world. Talk just like the world. Act just like the world. You can have all the worldliness about you and still be a seed of God. But you ain't no good to, you're not an example. God can't use you. I walked up to you, you smell like the world. I'm not going to get much out of that. But if you feed the white dog, set your affections, as Don said, on things above. Build your hopes on things eternal. Build your life around. I built my life around this thing. I'm so fortified around this word, and it's so fortified around me, the devil has a hard time getting a hold of me. I got the word in front of me. I got the word behind me. I got the word on my left side, on my right side. I got the word over me. I got the word under me. And the devil has a hard time convincing me of anything other than this. You say, well, I'm not sure. Then get more word. Because the thing is, the more you feed on the word, the stronger you'll get. If you're weak, you're not eating enough. That happens in the natural. In the natural, if you don't eat a lot, you'll get weak. And you'll get so weak. Now, when you get weak, you could pick up all kind of diseases, all kind of sicknesses, because you're weak. Your immune system is down. Some of y'all's immune system is down, spiritually speaking. And you need to eat. You say, well, I don't know if it's right. Well, eat it. I didn't know the beans were right when I was growing up, but I ate them. My mom and daddy didn't give me a choice. They said, eat them. Eat everything on your plate. Eat every word of God. And feed that thing. If you feed it, it'll grow. Now, I got some plants at home. I got one little egg carton that I'm suspicious. I've been watering them like I've watered all the others. All the others are coming up. This one egg carton ain't nothing coming up. I'm wondering. There may not be any life in there. Could be dead seed. So if you water your seed, it will grow. If there's a life in you, it will grow. You say, well, I don't know if there's a life in me. Keep feeding it. Keep watering it. Keep watering it. I watered those plants a long time before they popped their heads up. About a month. I watered, and didn't see nothing. I go down and look at the dirt, and it's like, I don't see nothing. But then after a while, I saw a little bit of life. And after a while, I just keep watering, keep putting the sun on it, and what is in it comes out. You don't have to figure it out. See, that's what we try to figure it out. We try to figure God out and try to figure out what God wants. You don't know what God wants from you. Just keep watering it. You say, what kind of plant am I? You keep watering it, you'll find out. By their fruits, you'll know them. But fruit don't come first. Fruit come last. You got a lot of growing, a lot of aches, a lot of pains, a lot of changes. You know what? That tomato plant ain't going to look like it does now when it becomes a tomato. Right now, it's got a couple of little blades that's about that high. But it is a tomato. It's a tomato plant. But it doesn't look like a tomato. All I got to do is keep watering it. Get it in the right environment. Keep it in the right environment. Key point. Keep watering it. Keep doing it. If you do spiritually what you do naturally with a plant, you'll understand how you'll grow in Christ. It ain't rocket science. You don't have to be a doctor of divinity. You don't have to know a lot. All I got to do is water and feed. Water and feed. Keep it going. And whatever's in you, it'll come out. You might blossom out into a singer. You might blossom out into a songwriter. You might blossom out into a preacher. You might blossom out into a pastor. But just keep feeding water. Feeding and water. And when you start out, you don't look anything like what God's got in mind for you. Just keep it, but feed it. Feed the white dog. Give it the right things. And pull away from the world. You say, well, the world's got such a pull. Well, you pull back. You don't just got to don't go down the river with it. Create an environment where God can come amongst you. Create an environment where God can talk to you. You know, God don't have to talk to you on Sunday, Wednesday. He can talk to you on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and Friday at your house. If you give to that, he'll feed you as much as he wants. I was sitting there this morning, and I'm going to get to my scripture, but I was sitting there this morning. I was looking up some stuff yesterday, and I'm excited about it. But I was sitting there just before I came today, and I started looking at it, and God started showing me some more things. I was like, Lord, you know, you are something else. We never, his way is past finding out. You're never going to figure him out. When you read a scripture, you think you know it. Seth, we've read that scripture a million times. Seth's getting up there like, hey, Romans 8:28's in here. Like he never read it before in his life. But you know what? While he was reading it, I was getting excited like I never heard it before in my life. Because every time you open the Word of God, it's never the same. It's fresh. It's new. It's always exciting. I've been doing this over 40 years, and I'm more excited today than I was then. Couldn't wait till y'all sat down. But anyway, it's good to be in the house. Thank you for going to Kentucky with us. And I talked to Brother Spivey. Now, Brother Spivey called me this morning, and it's good to talk to him. But he told me when I saw him last Saturday, he put his arm around me, took my hand, and said, if I ever done anything to offend you, forgive me. And he said, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to your home church, stand in your pulpit, and tell your congregation for me, if I've ever done anything to offend you, forgive me. That's what he said. So I had to deliver that because he told me to do that, and I didn't want to forget to do that on his behalf because I love Brother Spivey. He means the world to me, and we've traveled a lot. We've preached together. We've done a lot of things, and we've shared rooms and ups and downs. And he got mad at me when I was singing after he got rebuked by God at 2 in the morning, and I was just up singing and having a good time. He said, "You did that on purpose." I said, "I did not. I'm just singing because I got my voice back. I'm just glad to be able to do something." So we've been through things together, but that's my brother. That's my brother. But I need to get started because we've got Bible study again tonight, and I hope to have a special treat for you. I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to tell you. You just got to come and see. And so it'll be special. I'm trying to keep things in my head straight because there's so many things going on. I feel like I got a lot of things happening. I don't want to drop any balls on the way. And so come back this evening at 7, and we'll have a treat for you. And I pray. If not, you just have stuck with me. So either way, it's a treat. So it's good to be here. If you'll turn with me over to Exodus chapter 25, I've got some scriptures here I want to start out with. And I appreciated Jay's message on Wednesday night on the gospel. And this is where I started thinking about this message from Wednesday, and I kept it on my mind, and I kept thinking it over, and I thought, I want to go and talk about that on Sunday. So if you turn with me over to Exodus chapter 25, and we want to read starting at verse 16. "And thou shalt put into the ark of the testament which I shall give thee." Verse 17, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shalt thou make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat. With their wings and their faces shall look one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I'd like to title this message this morning, "Going Beyond the Veil." And we've been talking about the veil. Jay was mentioning it Wednesday. I had mentioned it, I think, last weekend. And I wanted to start here with Exodus 25 because I wanted to let you see that God has always had a plan. He always had a plan. And God is the one that always puts the plan together. I mean, this wasn't Moses' idea. It wasn't his idea. Matter of fact, Clarice and I have been reading in Exodus, and when God dealt with Moses, God gave Moses a lot of things he had to do, a lot of laws. He told him what to do. He told him how to dress. He told him how to live. He told him where he lived and who could go in the temple, who couldn't. He told him all manner of things. So God wanted to build this temple because God had a plan. And in this temple, he had things that he was going to put in the temple that he was going to use. But remember, the Old Testament wasn't the reality. The Old Testament, people get stuck in the Old Testament and they want to live in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is just a type and shadow. Anything you see in the Old Testament is just a type and shadow. You said, how can you say that? What about Adam? Adam was a type. Adam was a type of Jesus dying for his wife. Taking the punishment of his wife upon himself. That was Adam. How about Moses? Moses was God's voice leading the children to safety. Taking his people to the promised land. Only a type. Taking them to the promised land. Only a type. David. How about David? David's just a type. Man after God's own heart. You say, well, he's a real man. He was, but he just lived a type. All these things. Remember, David got up there and the man spit on him and he was going to take the head of the soldier was going to take the head of the man off. And David said, leave him alone. God told him to do that. Because Jesus was going to get spat on. Jesus is going to be kicked out of the kingdom. He's going to be kicked out of Jerusalem. He's going to be taken away from his people. He's going to see all of these things were the Old Testament types. So when God got Moses out there, God wanted to build himself a temple. God always wanted to dwell in a temple. Amen. That's always been his plan. Amen. So when God got Moses out there in the wilderness with the children of Israel, God decided, okay, now's the time. I want to move into this temple, and I want to do some things, and I want to share some things with mankind that I can't do from Elohim's standpoint, a God above us, way up in there where no man could touch him, no man could see him, no man could communicate. Remember, God came down to the mountain because they said, Moses, you're not the only one that can talk to God. We can talk to God just like you. Yeah. Moses said, you think so? I said, yeah. He said, wash up, because tomorrow you're going to talk to God. Yeah. And they went to the mountain, and Moses said, Elohim, Israel. Israel, Elohim. Then Moses stood back. And Israel stood there like the cowardly lion in the Wizard of Oz. Their knees knocked. They were scared. They were upset. They were stuttering. Couldn't say nothing. And God's on the mountain. Well, they're like, Moses, you talk for us. We can't talk to God. So see, God was way up and untouchable. But God knew that if he could put himself behind something, then it won't be so impossible for man to get a hold of him. Matter of fact, God wanted to do this. He told Moses, you build me this tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, they were on the run. They weren't even settled. Before they got settled, God said, I want a tabernacle. I want some place to dwell. I want you to build this for me. So in this tabernacle, God had an outer court where the world could come. Anybody could go to the outer court. But then he had an inner court, which the priest took care of, the believers. The believers went into the inner court, but everybody didn't get to go into the holies of holies. You had to be special. You had to be unique. But the one who went in the holies of holies got to talk face to face to God.
Amen.
And God knew, in order for me to set this up, I'm going to have to build a temple, put an outer court, inner court, and then I'll have the holies of holies. And when I get that holies of holies, then I can commune with mankind. I can talk to them, and they can talk to me, and we can do this together, and it won't kill them. It won't scare them to death. So in looking at this, now the way that this temple was built, the outer court, if you look it up, it had like an outer court here, and then they had this inner court, but between the outer court and the inner court was a curtain. And between the inner court and the holies of holies was a curtain, a veil. And so you had to go beyond that veil to find out what God was doing. You had to go inside the holies of holies in order to really see God. So the reason I call this going beyond the veil, because you got to go beyond the veil to find out where God is. So I wanted to go over here to Hebrews chapter 9, because you don't get a lot of information in Exodus about this holies of holies, but in Hebrews chapter 9 is the clearest understanding of what the inner workings of that tabernacle had in it. So if you go over there, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to read a little bit, a few verses here. And it's a little bit of reading, but not too much. But it'll give you a picture of this tabernacle. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinance, a divine service. Now, God had made a covenant with man. And he was going to take care of man as long as man took care of him. That was the first commandment. You do this, I'll do this. You keep this, I'll keep that. I'll keep the covenant as long as you keep your half, I'll keep my half. Well, man didn't keep his half. So God had this first covenant made, and it says, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. It was a worldly sanctuary. It was just a place for God to deal with man in the world. For there was a tabernacle made, the first. This is God's first tabernacle now. God wants to live behind the veil. He wants to live in a tabernacle. But this is the first one he owned. And this one was so far out that it was not even close. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick. Now, remember I said there's three areas of this tabernacle. You had your outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holy. Now, this first curtain divided God from man, and in this tabernacle were the candlestick. Now, remember, this is all types and shadows. Now, we know what the candlesticks are. The seven church ages are the candlesticks. That's why, you know what? I'll tell you this. I read this morning. I broke down, started crying right there because I thought, God, I looked some stuff up. I was still looking things up because I'm always asking this question. I broke down and said, Lord, you are something else. Now, here God had those candlesticks, and in type and shadow, you wouldn't even know what they are. But they were always in the mind of God. When he built that tabernacle, he was thinking about the bride.
Amen.
It was always a part of his plan. He always wanted those candlesticks. But those candlesticks were not in the holies of holies. They were behind that first curtain. And the first curtain, you don't get to know all. You can only know what you know. So there was candlesticks and a table. And on that table was the showbread. God had, and I looked this up this morning before I got, this is what broke me down. Do you know on that table that was spread, there were seven loaves of bread. One for each age, one for each candlestick, one for each messenger. But that's outside of the holies of holies. That's just behind that first veil. Oh, you didn't, I never read Hebrews 9 like I read it now. Okay, there's a table spread. And the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, here we go. We're going to get in where he is. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had the manna. We'll get back to that. And over it, the cherubims. Now, we talked about the cherubims. Remember those cherubims? There was four beasts in the book of Revelation. And those four beasts were cherubims. They had the face of an ox, of a lion, of a man, and of an eagle. That was in the ark on the ark, over the ark, protecting the ark. Remember I said weeks ago, I said our job as a cherub is to protect the word. Our life should be dedicated in protecting the word of God.
Amen.
It's not about your fun. It's not about your excitement. It's not about your life. It's about protecting the word. And here the cherubs were there, and they were all, now we're talking in the holies of holies now. The cherubs were there, glory shadowing the mercy seat. The mercy seat was there. The mercy seat. Where did God set for seven ages? On the mercy seat. So see, everything that God was going to do to build his bride, he already expressed it in type with Moses.
Right. Wow.
He'd already known about the ages. He'd already known about the candlesticks. He'd already known about the cherubs, the four beasts. He had all this planned out in his mind, and you think you're trying to figure it out. You think you're trying to figure out whether God loves you or you love God. Or if there is a God.
Right.
This right here shows you. He had the entire plan laid out.
Amen.
It wasn't by chance. This isn't like a science book you read and they say, well, the earth is 20 billion years old and the time we think is what we think. No, that's all man's theory. And you know what? Man's theory is only as good as man's theory is. And once he changes his mind, he changes his theory. They used to call Pluto a planet when I was in school. Now they don't call it a planet. I'm like, how can you take away a whole planet? Now I learned nine. Now they're saying eight. I'm like, okay, what else are you going to change? Like I said, when you change one thing, you can change it all. Now, this was back in Exodus, back when God was dealing with Moses, way back there, before we even knew what a cherub was. Before we knew what the candlesticks were, before we knew about the shewbread, this was even before he wrote the Ten Commandments.
Right. Yeah.
He says, you build this, then I'm going to put my tablets in there that I'm going to give you. Yeah. Not that I gave you, I'm going to give you.
Right.
So he was already putting things in place. You are not here by chance. You're part of a plan that was included in the Ark of the Covenant back there in the wilderness. You're a part of a plan that was back there in Genesis when God looked at Adam and said, who told you you were naked? You were part of a plan when God was talking to Job and said, Job, where were you before the foundation of the world? When the sons of God, away us.
Amen.
Shout out for joy. Now, we weren't physically there, but we were in the mind of God, already a part of his plan. It's always been God's plan to move in behind the veil. It's always been his plan.
Amen.
Verse 4, which had the golden censer. Now this is behind the second veil. And the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna. We'll get back to that. And Aaron's rod that budded. We'll get back to that. Because there's something in all of this. And the tables of the covenant. We'll get back to that. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. I can't talk too much about that. Because you know what? When it was written here, Paul had seen a lot about that mercy seat. Paul knew a lot. He understood a lot. But he knew he couldn't say much about that mercy seat. Wasn't there? He said, we'll get back to that.
Wow.
Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always in the first tabernacle. He got in that first group.
Right.
Accomplishing the service of God. They, in the outer court, was doing the work of the ministry. They were seeing to the tabernacle. They were doing all the things. They'd replace, do you know? The shewbread was replaced every 7 days.
Right.
So God did something. He had the 7 week of the Old Testament, 7 week of the New Testament. He always put fresh bread out every time. Always fresh. But God didn't do it. That's what the church was for. That's what the ministry was for. Remember I said everybody gets to go in the outer court. You don't even have to be a Christian. You don't have to be you could be anything out in the outer court. God ain't worried about you. But when you start handling his word, when you start handling his bread, you got to get an inner court. And I was reading this morning, it said, you know what, that shoe bread, because I was looking, because the church ages and the shoe bread were in that inner court, but not in the holies of holies. And they said that shoe bread probably was, they weren't sure though, they said it probably was unleavened bread because they took that shoe bread into the holies of holies and you couldn't take leaven in amongst you. No leaven could go in the holies of holies. No sin can go in the holies of holies. You had to have representation to even go. You had to be a special person to go into the holies of holies. Anybody can go to church. That's the outer court. Yeah, come in, sit down, and be a part of an outer court. But then the Christian, the believer, who really starts doing the work of the ministry. I ain't talking about preachers. I'm talking about you.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm talking about you got the word in you. You've got the bread in you. You're the one that takes that bread and you handle it and change it. You've got something to do. God called you for a reason. Amen. You're not here just to just be here smiling and having a good old time. You're not here to get rich. You're not here to have money. You're not here to get married. You're not here to get all this other stuff that the world is offering. You're here to serve God. That's the inner court. If all you're here is for the fishes and loaves, then stay in the outer court. But the closer to the holies of holies you get, the more it's going to cost you. Oh, it don't cost you nothing to be outside. You can be in the world. You can be in church sitting doing nothing. You can just be amongst the believers. That no responsibility, no requirements, no nothing. That's easy. So that's what kids do. They don't care where the food comes from. They just know it better be there. They don't care who pays the light bill. They better know they better turn on when I flip that switch. They don't know where money comes from. They don't know it costs you to buy their games. They don't know it costs you to buy their shoes. They don't know it costs you to buy their clothes. They just know they open the closet door and it's there. That's the outer court. That's somebody, you don't even have to be a believer to be in the outer court. You don't know where your bread's buttered from. You don't even know what God's done for you. You don't even give God the credit for it. You just know it has to happen. It just is. It just happens. It just comes. But it didn't just come. Somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to provide for it. Somebody's got to make a way for it. And if you don't know what that's it, if you don't have a clue about that, you're in the outer court. You ain't doing nothing. God's giving you breath right now. And you think it's just me. It ain't just you. Something like your hearts keep going. If we just look at nature. Yes. We looked at nature. That's why Brother Branham talked to the one guy. He was a atheist. And he lived up in the mountains somewhere, way up somewhere. And Brother Branham went up to go hunting. The lady across the ridge had come to the meeting. And Brother Branham, I think he had gone up to her house and prayed for her. And there was a hollering and a shouting because God had healed her. Hollering and screaming and shouting. And the old man on his ridge heard all this coming because she come across the ridge. And he said, well, I guess the old lady done died. And he kind of find out the shouting was because she was healed. Right. And so Brother Branham went up to hunt on his property with his friend. And he got to talking to the old man, and the man said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Huh? I'm an infidel. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God at all. There's no such thing. And Brother Brown's really. He said, funny how those trees, every fall and every winter, the sap comes from the trees and goes down to the roots, all on its own. And then in spring, that same sap comes up from the roots and goes up to the trees, all on its own. He says, what do you think makes that happen? It's just nature. Just nature. Brother Brown said, well, let's take a bucket of water and put it on that post over there that's on your porch. Let's stick a bucket of water in there and put some water in that and see what happens. He said, if you tell me what intelligence causes that to happen to that tree versus that post, then I'll tell you how that woman got healed up on the hill. So see, there is a God. He knows the whole entire story. Things don't just happen. Scientists try to figure it out. They try to figure out the body. They try. Your heart beats nonstop all of your life. They don't know why. They can't create something that can work as hard as it does for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Never miss a beat. Don't have to plug it up into the wall. Don't have to recharge it. Don't have to do nothing. Man can't figure that out. Man can't figure these things out. But God, who had a plan from before the foundation of the world, He's working this plan, and He hasn't slowed down, and He'll work until He's done working it.
Amen.
And here He was on that temple there, and He had all these things in place, the outer court, the inner court, the holies of holies. He had all this in place. He said, but in the second, verse 7, went the high priest alone once a year. Not without blood. You don't go in there without the blood. You cannot approach God without His blood.
Amen.
Jesus died so that you could approach God.
Right. Yes.
Amen. No other man, no other doctor of divinity, nobody else could pay that price. That's why in Revelation it says, no man was worthy to open a book and to loose the seals, because we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Come here speaking lies. You don't have to be taught to be bad. You have to be taught to be good. It's man is bad, evil continually. There is nothing good about man outside. Thank God He come. Thank God He has His word here. If it wasn't for the word of God, this place would be a worse mess than it is. If it wasn't that God's people were on earth, this place would be a mess. It's the grace of God that He holds back destruction so that the children of God can manifest the word of God in the hour that we're living in. But you can't go into that beyond that veil without the blood. You'll never see that little room. I was thinking this morning about that little room. Even before I got out of bed, I was thinking about that little room. So there is a tent. There's the world. There's a tent, and then there's the little room. Anybody can be in the world. Religious people and church people get in the tent. But only you can go into that little room. That's the holies of holies. That's where God is. That's where the pillar of fire is. So He built this thing. And I got to keep going because I'm going to run out of time before I get started. The Holy Ghost signifies, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while at first tabernacle was yet standing. In that Old Testament, that tabernacle, they couldn't understand. There was no blood given. So the Holy Ghost couldn't come. Do you know the Holy Ghost couldn't come till Jesus died?
Amen.
See, this whole story builds upon the previous story. The priest in the Old Testament, what he did when he went into the holies of holies, he first put the blood ahead of himself. And then he put the blood ahead of the people. But when he put the blood and sprinkled the altar with the blood did not take away their sins. It only charged it. Have you ever used, now I know y'all ain't never used a charge card. Okay, I'll admit, I got a couple. The way a charge card works is you go in the store and get what you want, and you walk up there like you got money when you don't. And they check you out, and they'll take your charge card that you have, and that charge card actually doesn't belong to you. You use it, but it ain't yours. Because at any minute, I could cut you off. So you check out, use this charge card, and they thank you for it. They treat you just like they did that person in front of you who handed them a $100 bill. You ain't got a dime on you. But you use this charge card to pay your bill. And when you pay that bill, you walk out with the goods like you paid for it. But somebody, somewhere, has to pay for it. So what they did in the Old Testament with that first tabernacle is they all walked in with charge cards. They lived. They'd come there year after year, charging year after year. And that bill was building.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Then Jesus came. See, people don't know why Jesus died. This is why he died. He died because outside of him dying, you could not receive payment for a bill that you owed.
Amen.
He didn't owe it. You did. He wasn't born in sin. You were. He wasn't hell bound. You were.
Amen.
He's the only one. That's why when the book was opened and the seals was ripped off, he was the only one that could do it because he was the only one worthy. John wasn't worthy. Paul wasn't worthy. Adam wasn't worthy. You weren't worthy. But this high priest would go in here with this blood showing that, Lord, there is coming a day that the blood is going to be spilled on our behalf. They didn't know the details. They didn't know how it was going to work. All they knew is they did what God told them to do. So they'd go in there, and they put a bell on his foot, a rope with a bell on it. He had to walk a certain way. See, when you get into the holies of holy, you got to walk a certain way. You can't just walk like the world, act like the world, still be the world and try to be in the holies of holy. You know what happened when they did that and they weren't really... The rope wasn't so that God can hear the bell ring. The rope was for the church people who were outside of the veil listening to that bell. They didn't know what the priest was saying to God and what God was saying to the priest. All they was listening for is tingling, tingling, tingling. That means he's alive. You know, they used to bury people alive. And they used to have people in the cemeteries they called bell ringers. And they would... They would sit and listen because they kept burying people. They would fall, they'd pass out or something. People would take them back. Because back then they didn't embalm. You die, they just throw you in a box, bury you. So what they found out is that they were burying people who were just passed out. And so when they open these caskets, they see cloth on the where they were trying to claw their way out. Well, they did die, but it wasn't at the time that they were buried. So they had these people who would actually listen. The bell would come from the casket, and it would be above the ground. And if you heard a bell, that means somebody was buried alive. So in the Holies of Holies, he wore this rope around his foot with a bell on it, and he had to walk a certain way. And they were outside listening and feeding him rope. And as long as they heard the bell ringing, they'd say, okay, he's alive. But if they don't hear the bell ringing, they just start pulling the rope because they ain't going in there. You can't go in there. You have to be special to go in the Holies of Holies. Did I tell y'all that? So they'd start pulling them out. You know what? I put a lot of people out. They come so far, they don't go all the way, and the bell stopped ringing. Well, so, which was a figure for the time then present at that time, in which we offered service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. See, they were taking care of their conscience. They weren't taking care of their sin. They just took care of enough so they can live with themselves. Right. Wow. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances. That's what they had. Imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, a better tabernacle. Amen. Now here God had the first tabernacle, and he had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and he did that, and then David, he said, I'm going to build my Lord a tabernacle. And God said, no, you're not. You got blood on your hands. They said, let your son do it. So Solomon built a permanent city tabernacle on the same line as what it was in the world. The revelation didn't change. The tabernacle changed. And the same requirements that God required in the wilderness, God required of Solomon in the temple. But every time God moved into a different veil, it got stronger. He went from tent to a stone to a brick and rock and a building that didn't move. Much more stable. Matter of fact, Moses would have been jealous if he saw the Solomon's temple. But Solomon's temple was built to stand. Strong and solid. But here, it still had the same ordinance as the first temple. And when God moved from that veil, he moved into that temple. Do you realize that when they built that temple and they put everything in it, I thought about this morning. I was thinking a lot, I guess, this morning. I thought about this morning. I said, God tells them everything they do. But there's one thing that they don't do is bring in the Holy Spirit. They built the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then the pillar of fire moved in. They built Solomon's temple. Then the Holy Spirit, that pillar of fire, moved in behind that veil. So God's like, oh, this is more like it. This is better. I can do things from here. And he used that temple with all of those ordinances and all of those laws, and he did everything he did behind that veil. Now, the people didn't see him. They had to believe by faith. Because remember, the first group that built the temple, they probably saw the pillar of fire go in. But they told their kids, yeah, the pillar of fire is behind that veil. How'd you know? I saw it. It went in there. And then their kids come along. Daddy told me, pillar of fire went back there. Granddaddy said, so that pillar of fire went back there and they never saw it again. They just knew. They had faith. They believed that God was behind that veil. And any time they needed to get a hold of God, all they had to do is face the temple. Because they knew where God was. And so God lived there. He dwelt there. He stayed there. And he did things. But there's three things you got to understand that God always pulls in with him when he goes into a temple. Those three things. He had a gold jar of manna. That's fresh food. He had Aaron's staff that budded. That's fellowship. And he had the stone tablets of the covenant, which were the law of God. Now let's look at these three things, because everywhere God dwells, he takes those three with him. Now, with Moses, that manna, when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness and they got hungry and they start complaining to Moses, saying, Moses, you brought us out here to die. We're starving to death out here. And God said, and Moses said, God, these people are complaining. They're hungry. God said, tomorrow morning, take them out there and I'm going to have them something to eat. And then when they went out there and they saw that manna, it's like it was laying out in the field. And they didn't know what it was. It's like, what is that? And they picked one up, and somebody probably first one that ate it. He said, whoa. Moses told us this was coming. And he said, when it comes, gather enough for your family for today. Only today. Well, you know what, though? See, man, they're awful. They never listen. God said, just take enough for today. Well, they start hoarding it. You know how we do. It's a storm coming, and we go buy all the toilet paper. You can't even use all the toilet paper you buy. And why toilet paper? I never understood that. Why? Out of all the things to buy, I think I'd go for the meat. I'd go for the chips. I'd go for the bread. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, so they hoarded up this manna, took it home in the first day, ate until they just belly ached, couldn't eat no more. And said, we'll finish this tomorrow. Got up the next day, and it was spoiled. God's lesson to us is you always have to eat the manna for the day that you're living in. God never wanted us to forget that, because that was going to play a role in his transporting himself from one veil to the other. And every veil he went to, he took that manna with him. And each day he took that manna, they never went hungry. It never went bad. It was always fresh. Now, in Aaron's rod, Aaron's staff, let me tell you a little bit about that. They were bickering, man. Who's the mess? Who's the boss? Who's the leader? Who's this? Who's that? Of course, Moses. Moses had awful people. I really want to, and I don't know if I'll do it, but it's just on my mind for weeks. Like, I need to do a comparison of Moses and his people and Joshua and his people. That was so different. Moses had to fight every way, each way he went. Joshua's just pointing him in a direction, says, take that, do this, take that. That's people of faith. If you have faith, you'll step out on it. See, faith isn't what you see. Faith is what you believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And Moses' people had none. And after seeing all Moses did down in Egypt, after walking through the Red Sea, after doing all that they had done, they turn around and think that God's going to leave them. They murmured and complained. They say, well, what's this Aaron? What's this? Right. So Moses said, okay, all you leaders, bring me a rod. And he took the rod, put it away, and said, let's see which one the Lord's going to deal with. Well, they come back the next day, and Aaron's rod budded, showing that Aaron was going to be the high priest and their lineage was going to be the lineage of the Levites that were going to take care of the tabernacle and the temple. Because everybody wanted, I want to be a preacher so I can get a big buck. I want to get a check. I want a Cadillac. So God put Aaron's rod in there, showing that, you know, this correction. There was correction. Aaron had to correct these people. God had to correct Aaron. People had correction come forward. People don't want fellowship. They don't want correction. They don't want, because you can't really have fellowship without correction. You really can't. Amen. You give your kid everything they want. You know what's going to happen when they get older? They're going to be a bad person.
That's right.
They need spanked. They need whipped. They don't need to get everything they want.
That's right.
I don't get it. I ain't going to get on your parents to have kids with cell phones at the age of 4. I see them. My grandkids, they knew how to use the cell phone almost, well, I was going to say before they could walk, but they could get through that thing, their knowledge. You know, but kids are smart. They learn quickly, and they're learning faster than their parents. When I have trouble with my phone, I give it to my daughter. They know the stuff, but kids are smart, and parents don't think they are, but kids are manipulating their parents before the parents realize it. Johnny wants this, and they learn how to get it. I've seen kids laying in the middle of the candy aisle in the store, kicking and throwing a fit until mama finally gives them what they want. And she's doing it not because she wants to do it. She's doing it because she don't have a choice. And then that kid grows up and learns that. You know why this world is in an awful state? Because the people that are running the world now were brats when they were kids. They weren't spanked. They had no correction. No real whipping. Because they started this, put them in a corner. And they don't even put them in a corner anymore. They start giving them what they want or say, okay, well, I'm going to take this from you. Well, I'm the one that bought it. You know, it's mine anyway. It's not yours. But anyway, I'm not getting on that. I got a subject here. But I'm just saying, the world's getting worse. It's not getting better. And now parents who were not whipped as kids are not whipping their kids now, and they're getting worse. Kids with guns, kids shooting up school, kids on drugs and doing all this stuff at early ages. This world is falling apart. And the only thing that's saving us is God's word. Social religion, social trying to get with society. Your government's going to mess you up. The church is going to mess you up. And you say, I'm going to be my own boss. You'll mess up too because you don't know what you're doing. But true fellowship comes because you have the garage, you got the ministry, you got somebody preaching the word of God to you that's going to line you up. Amen. That's where fellowship comes from. Yes. To being able to, the reason we can get along is because of the word of God. Yes. You got blacks and whites and everything else in here. Yes. If it wasn't for the word of God, we'd be picking at each other. That's right. But the word of God levels everything out. So, just to move it on, I'm not going to read it, but Exodus chapter 16 is where Moses was told to put that manna in the ark. And verse 34, just two verses here, I'm not going to read the whole thing. And the Lord commanded Moses, saying, so Aaron, lay up before the testimony to be kept. That's that manna. And he told, see, God knew what he wanted in that tabernacle. It wasn't like we do here. We just decorate. We paint the walls what we want. We do whatever we want here. No, God has some specific rules and things because he knew that tabernacle was going to be an example of himself. So just to save time, because this is 11:44, the staff... The staff, Numbers chapter 17, won't read it, but just to drop this in here, verse 9, and Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. I had to look up rebels because I thought I knew what rebels was, and I did. But a rebel is a person who rises in opposition or armed resistance against an established government or ruler. God said, I want to use this rod of Aaron's as an example against those rebels. Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony and keep it for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmuring from me, that they die not. Because people complain to God. And God says, just let Aaron handle this. And they were rebelling. And what people do is they rebel against God. They're not rebelling against me. Remember when Saul was up there and they wanted a king, Israel wanted a king, and Samuel was there, and they said, Samuel was heartbroken because he felt like, hey, they're turning me down. They don't want me no more. And God said, don't worry about it. They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. I have to realize that because when people, I get rejected all the time. And I do take it personal. Because I love you. And I want you to do well. I want you to prosper. But God always reminds us, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. It's God in the vessel. It's God in the tabernacle. It's God in the ministry. It's God in his prophets. It's God in the preachers. And when you turn that down, you're not affecting us. You're affecting yourself and your relationship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That, here's what Brother Branham said about that, Rod. I'll read this. No wonder the church natural today can't believe in miracles. They've never come into the miracle working place where they're at rest with God. There's where Aaron's rod budded, in that hidden place with God. There's where Aaron's rod budded. Something that was dead, an old dry stick off the desert in the hottest of hottest, took a new life and blossomed and bloomed blossoms and sprouted out and brought leaves. It was laying in the holiest of holies. God wanted to put that in there to show how that he can take an old, no good man, rotten, including the core. No life at all in him. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You had no hope, no leadership, no direction. You had nothing. Then Jesus came. And that rod was put in there to show you that I can take something that's dead out of the desert and bring life out of it. A man who is no good and rotten, God can take your life and change it and make you new again. That's what he does. That's why you're not the same old man. That's why you don't go and do the same old things, because you're a new creature in Christ. And he put that rod in there to remind us that it's a new life that's budding out of you. It's not the same old Nate Moore that was born to Jesse and Dorothy Moore. I'm a new creature in Christ. I've been born again. Old things are passed away. It's no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. See, all these things are the word of God that's been in there since he typed it out in the Old Testament. He never changed his mind about his word. He just put the further part and moved a little bit closer. He went from a tabernacle in the wilderness to a tabernacle in Jerusalem. And he moved from Jerusalem to Jesus. It's been him all the way through. The stones of tablet. Got to put this in there. The stones of tablet is where God's word is. He always is where his word is. If he's in the tabernacle, he said, you put those words right inside. Everywhere I go, the word goes with me. Everywhere the word goes, I'll go with it. And anytime you have the word of God in you, then God is with you. Wherefore then serveth the law? Galatians 3, verse 19. It was added because of the transgressions. God gave us a law. Put it in there. Law's not bad. No. You want to say, well, I can just do anything. No, you can't. You've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. If God tells you to stop something, you got to stop. If God tells you to start something, you got to start. If God tells you to go somewhere, you got to go. If he tells you to stay away from somewhere, you got to stay away from somewhere. He's done that with me. This place I lied, Lord. Whoa. And God said, no more. Stop. And to obey him.
Amen.
Tells me, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Why? Because he's in here. That law is in here. But it's a law of liberty. It's not a prison. It's a law of liberty. It's a freedom to serve God. It's a beautiful thing to serve God. It's a wonderful thing to serve God. I am just as bound, but yet I'm free. He says, Brother Brown said, now the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws. The word Deuteronomy. And God had two laws. Two laws. One of them is disobedience to the word and die. And the other one is obedience to the word and live. That's the two laws. And Deuteronomy means those two laws. Amen. They had both been absolutely displayed to us in the scriptures. One of them is death. One of them is life. Life and death. God deals only in life. Satan only in death. Pretty easy. Pretty straightforward. God ain't killing you. Satan is. All God's got to offer is life. Anything he touches is life. And I don't care how dry the desert is. Let water run through that thing. And the seed that's in that dried up dirt will blossom. God only deals with life. Water only deals with life. Brings out the seed that's in it. And these was displayed in the world publicly, openly before every eye. And there's no excuse for us. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when the law was given under Moses. And which condemned the whole human race to death. That's what I don't understand. They want to put the Ten Commandments in the front yard. The Ten Commandments, all it's going to do is condemn you. You can't live those Ten Commandments. If there are only five, you couldn't live it. And we try to put the Ten Commandments up like we put it over the judge's desk. We put it in the courthouse. We put them out in our front yards. When I pass somebody's yard and they got the Ten Commandments, I said, God bless them. Good luck with that. He that is guilty of the least is guilty of the whole. If you keep 9 out of 10, you're guilty. They try to say, well, I've never committed adultery. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman. Human race to death. The other one was given at Mount Calvary that brought the whole human race to life. When the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ, two laws of Deuteronomy were fulfilled in these two great things. Man, I got to get moving because it's already noon. Man. Then Jesus came. Because he wasn't happy being in the wilderness in a temple, in a canvas. He wasn't happy being in a temple in Jerusalem. But he had another move he wanted to make, and that move was Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, he takes those three things with him. I'm not going to go over it all, but you know, you're getting the picture now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the law, the word. God took the word and he put it in Christ.
Amen.
In the beginning, John 1:1 was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Amen.
And the word was made flesh, John 1 said, verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. It was God moving from the temple in Jerusalem unto the man Christ Jesus. Not only because the word, but true fellowship was broken. And true fellowship came back after Jesus Christ paid the price. He said, true fellowship, yes, us being able to communicate with God. You know, Adam had, he had true fellowship with God. And Moses, when he put that temple in the wilderness, Aaron had true fellowship with God. And then the high priest over there in Solomon's temple had true fellowship with God. But none of those fellowship, because remember, every time God moved into the tabernacle, it got stronger.
That's right.
Jesus come on the scene and he was the word. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to go to a tabernacle. He didn't have to go to a temple. He didn't have to go to the wilderness. He didn't have to do those things. Everywhere he went, the word went with him.
Yes.
He was those commandments. He said, I didn't come to break the law or to do away with the law. I couldn't fulfill it. And Jesus not only did that, he gave us fellowship again. And then not only that, he gave us bread. I got the scriptures. I'm taking time not to read it. He said, I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. So here we got right in front of our face, the temple of God. Standing in plain view. Right before man, doing the same thing he's done from the beginning. Communication between God and man. But now we didn't have to. Remember the little woman? She said, a time comes. And Jesus told her, he says, the time coming now is that they that worship me. Amen. He wasn't ashamed of who he was. He knew he was the temple of God. He knew where God dwelt. He knew that God, he was housing God. Yeah. I have the tablets. I have the word in me. I am true fellowship with God. And I am standing here with the true bread of life. And he that drinks and eats of me will never thirst again.
That's right.
Amen. Oh my, Jesus was standing there, the bread of life, the temple of God. The same one that was with Moses, the same one that was with Solomon, was standing there before man. And what did man do? They rejected that temple. Just like they did with Moses. Just like they did with Solomon. Here Jesus was standing here, the temple of God, and they rejected him. And when they rejected him, the veil was rent. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple, remember that second temple, Solomon's temple, the veil of the temples was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints were slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. God had moved himself from Solomon's temple, and all the church people were watching Solomon's temple. They weren't watching Jesus. They hated Jesus. They would go and talk about Jesus and go to the temple and worship God. Brother Branham said they were in the temple singing, my God, why have thou forsaken me? An Old Testament Psalms. They were quoting and reading the very thing that they were doing to Jesus on Calvary's Hill. They were in the temple singing the songs of Solomon while crucifying the Lord of glory. And here in that temple, God wanted man so much to know that he was not behind that temple veil again. He himself rent it from the top to the bottom. It wasn't his disciple. It wasn't John and Matthew grabbing both sides of the veil and pulling it back and renting it. God himself struck it from the top to the bottom to let everybody know, I am not there. Do you know when that curtain opened up, they saw the pillar of fire was not there? God had moved from there. He was no longer in that temple. He was hanging on Calvary's Hill. He had rent that veil, and he's rent that temple veil to let them know, I'm not there anymore. I've moved. You got to find the veil that I'm in now. Church Row went and sold that veil right back up on Solomon's temple and went right back singing the Psalms. But the only difference was God wasn't in that temple no more. God had moved from that temple, and that temple was rent to show that he wasn't there anymore. And here Jesus was hanging on Calvary's Hill, paying a price for us all. That was God's temple. That was God's veil. But you know what? That wasn't the end of it. Oh my. Remember I said every time he gets stronger? But I don't have time, but I'll just say it. He moved from Jesus. But he moved into another temple. Oh, remember when he moves, he takes the tablets of the word with him. Oh, remember he takes the fresh manna with him. Oh, remember he takes all the things that belong to him and moves it. When you move your house, when you go from house to house, you pack your bags and you take what you want. Yes. God took those same things that he had placed in Jesus Christ and he moved it to the bride.
Yes. Oh, yes.
still veiled behind skin. But it's not only veiled, it's in Jesus' skin. It's moved his veil into the skin of the bride. If you want to hear the word, where are you going to find it? You're going to find it in the bride. You're going to eat fresh manna. See, there was fresh manna all 7 days. There's a loaf of bread for all 7 days that God didn't remove that loaf. He took and gave them exactly what was theirs. And they ate on that and they feasted on that the entire 7 church ages. Then he got a group that stepped into the holies of holies. Oh, true fellowship was restored. A real relationship between God and man. Now we don't have to go to the temple. Now we don't have to look to Jerusalem. We don't even have to look back to Calvary. Oh, people make these trips over to Jerusalem because they want to walk where Jesus walked. I want to walk where Jesus walked, but he's walking with me. He's walking in me. He's talking in me. The word is veiled here. It's behind a veil now. And you know what? People are just as blind now as they've ever been. He was blinded to them back then. They couldn't see beyond the veil back then. They couldn't recognize the word when it was brought to them back then. And they don't recognize it in this hour. Oh, God's not veiled in Jesus now. He's veiled in the bride. The whole world recognizes Jesus, but nobody recognizes us. But we have the word. We have the fresh manna for the hour that we're living in. And we bind and loose and we do whatever we can now. We are one with him. It's the same God that was in the tabernacle in the wilderness. It's the same God that was in the temple of Solomon. It's the same God that was in Jesus Christ. It was the same God that came down on the day of Pentecost. It's right here today. But you got to go beyond the veil to see that. You got to go beyond the veil. If all you see is the veil, all you see is a man in a suit. All you see is somebody hollering and screaming. All you see is a congregation going crazy. All you see is a group of people that are sitting in benches and making a bunch of noise. But if you could just get beyond that veil, get beyond the veil, look for those three things. You'll find him. You'll find God if you find those three items. Gone beyond the veil. Looking beyond all that happened in the past. Realizing that it's the word made flesh again in this our day. It's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. That's where we're at right now. Oh, but some people can't see beyond that veil. But you got to rent it. You got to rent past this. You got to get past this. You got to move into that holies of holies. You got to go in there where God is talking to man. Go in there and recognize where you're at, what you're dealing with. And then it won't be you on the outer courts. It won't you just be in church, just sitting in a bench somewhere. But you'll become a moving, living revelation of God veiled in human flesh. I am the word of God veiled in human flesh. I've got beyond the veil. I have moved into the holies of holies. I've moved into that little room. I have perfect fellowship. I have perfect manna for the day that I'm living in, and I'm standing on the word of God. Amen. And I shall not be moved. Song says I'm like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. Let the world fall apart. Let the churches fall apart. Let the people fall apart. But I'm going to stand because I know who I am. I've looked beyond the veil, and I look beyond my veil. And when I look beyond my veil, and you got to look beyond your veil, look on the inside of the inside and see who's in there. Look on the inside of the inside and see if the word of God is there. Look and see if the fellowship is there. See if you're eating the manna, fresh manna for this day. Not yesterday's manna, not 2 weeks ago manna. But give us this day. That's why Jesus said that. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, I'm eating on a fresh manna of God. And you got to know that for yourself. Get in that inner veil. Get in there and look around. Is the word there? Yes. Are you in fellowship with God? Yes. Oh, my. Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? Can't you see, man, why I say my name is in there? Oh, it's in there because I am the Word. I'm the very vessel that God looked at and said I wanted to get into. You know, God will go no lower than this. This is the lowest God wanted to get. He don't want to go to the dogs and animals. He gets no glory in that. He wanted to make himself veiled one more time in human flesh. Now he's moved in past my outer court, which is my flesh. You know you're made up of three. Your flesh, your spirit, and your soul. Your flesh is your outer court. Everybody can see that. You don't need a Holy Ghost to see that. But get on the inner court, and that's tricky. Because sometimes I feel like it, and sometimes I don't. You know that old commercial, sometimes I feel like a nut, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel holy, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I love God, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want to please God, sometimes I don't. That's that inner court. But if you get one more veil, if you move one more level deep, you see on the inside of the inside that there's only one thing in there. That's a love for the Word of God. That is God Himself. He's veiled in my flesh. And I have no other life. I have no other love. I have no other place to go. I have no other religion. I have no other person. I have no other hope. It says my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. We are now in the veil. And remember, I said it gets stronger each time. You say you're stronger than Jesus? Oh, yeah. You know why? Jesus said, greater works shall you do. Greater works than me? I walked on water. I healed the sick. I raised the dead. But I did it as one man. But now there's a powerhouse, a group of believers. God's veiled himself in a many-membered body. And now when we walk out of here, we're all Christ. We're all anointed. We're all doing the will of God. But to see that will, you got to move beyond the veil. You got to go beyond the veil and see who's in there. And when you see that it's God living in you, oh, it's not nothing to drop something. It's not nothing to lay things down. I don't have to have the last word. I don't have to be on top of everything. I don't have to be so this or that. I don't have to prove anything to nobody. I don't have to prove to them that I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God because I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I am a father of one. When you see me, oh my, you see the Word made flesh. You see God living in human skin. Oh, you see the anointed Word of God veiled in human skin. And nobody's greater than me.
Amen.
My. Whew. I see the Word made flesh again. And this our day, God in man, forever to stay. What a glorious revelation, just to know and understand that Christ has come down and He's united with man. I see the Word made flesh again. And this our day. For it's God in man forever to stay. Christ has come down and united with man. The next phase will be when we see our precious loved one get up They'll say, come on now, it's supper time. We'll change and go up to meet the Lord in the air and be eternally with Him and His glory. We will share where there will never be a sin. Oh, I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. God, forever to, oh, what a glorious revelation just to know and understand that Christ has come down and He's united with man. Heavenly Father, oh, we're so grateful, Lord, that You had this plan of redemption in Your mind from before the foundation of the world. You've never changed Your mind about Your Word. You just stepped forward and stepped forward and stepped forward, and You lowered Yourself and brought Yourself down and humbled Yourself into a point that where You can move into us, the final veil that You wanted to live in. And now that You're here, Lord, we see clearly Your entire picture. Oh, God, I'm so grateful for that. Lord, help us to move all doubt and fear away. And let us step into Your light, step into Your Word. And let it just take preeminence in our lives and not be a second or third. Don't let us stand in the outer court. Don't let us even just stand in the inner court. But let us move into the holies of holies where You move in us. And You have a fellowship, perfect fellowship with us. Thank You for what You've done, Lord. Thank You for this congregation being patient with us here today. Ask You to bless our sister. She's going to be baptized this morning. And Lord, if there's some here that are not sure, help them to be sure. If they haven't made that step to repent and be baptized, Lord, You promised in Your Word that if we did that, then You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That You would move in behind that third veil, that inner veil, that You would become one with them in such a way that all this world will lose its grip, that the desires of the world will lose their grip, and that, Lord, only pleasing You is what makes us happy. Amen. Thank You for it all, Father. Help us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you may be seated if you want. They're going to do a baptism.
All right, let's bow our heads. Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your many blessings. Yes. Thank You for Your Word this morning, Lord, for preaching to us. Yes. Thank You for our sister Alicia here, Lord, as she wants to be baptized. Yes. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it's about this morning, Lord, the holies of holies, that inside the inside, Lord, a new birth. We thank You for making the new birth available to us. Bless our sister. Bless her in her life. Give her guidance and leadership, Lord. Thank You for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. Sister Alicia, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And Lord, we stand on your word. You said by your stripes we're healed. And ask you to touch them, Lord. Remove the pain and whatever it is that's bothering. Move it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I shall not be moved. Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. In his love and favor, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. Oh, yes, I shall not be moved. Oh, yes, I shall.
Just